blessing to be back once again. Lord willing, we'll look at the topic of knowledge. That's what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. That's where we'll start. We'll end up in 1 John, but we'll start in Colossians chapter 1. Start in verse 9. Just read a few verses here. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help me this morning to speak what you want me to speak. Pray that you would give me the words. Pray, Lord, that this would be received as you would have it. And just ask for your blessing now. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at the importance, power, and danger of knowledge. I heard this story of this lady. She got into a fight with some guy. It was road rage is what it was. And he attacked her. They were on a bridge. So she jumped off. And this guy jumped in after her to help her. And she thought it was her attacker. And so she was fighting him off in the water, saying, "Go away, go away." And she died. What I want to talk about is the importance of knowledge. If she had known who it was, she could have been helped. But she refused his help because she didn't know who he was. Knowledge is important. But knowledge is a two-edged sword. We find that clearly in the Bible. In Genesis, we find there's a knowledge of good and evil. And this knowledge is a knowledge we never were supposed to have. When God created the world, there was one tree in the garden that they were not to touch. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is a good knowledge that we have a responsibility to learn now. But there's also an evil knowledge. Knowledge has effect on people. That's obvious. Knowledge is often looked at as power. That's why a lot of people push their children into universities and push them to gain all the knowledge they can because they want them to be successful. But we have to be careful with knowledge. I heard there's a story about there's a battleship, and they saw a light in the distance, and they determined that they were on a collision course with another vessel. So they radioed. They said, to avoid collision, divert 15 degrees to the south. And the response they got was, divert your course 15 degrees to the north. And the ship radioed out again. This is the captain. I can't remember. I don't know the battleship. But this is the captain of the U.S. battleship. Divert 15 degrees. And the response was, this is a lighthouse. You see the difference in knowledge. They didn't know it was a lighthouse, but as soon as they knew, everything changed. Knowledge is important, but we have to be careful with it. Our country is the most powerful on earth to have ever existed. And that's because of the knowledge that we have here. If you look at people that came, that immigrated and brought their knowledge with them, Albert Einstein, he was from Germany. We have nuclear capabilities largely as a result of him. Alexander Graham Bell. He invented our telephone. He was from Scotland. There's a man by the name of Nikola Tesla, and he was an electrical engineer. Really made advances in the electrical world, and that's why Tesla's named after him. Just on and on it goes. I think God has blessed us with this knowledge, because at one point, America, their desire was to be a light to the world in a large way. I think that America had that responsibility. And God blessed them for it. And that knowledge has made America the most powerful nation. But we find in Jeremiah chapter 10, if we can turn there, please. Jeremiah chapter 10. God has largely blessed this nation because America has always, not fully, obviously, but in a large part has been a good influence on the world. And God has been able to use this country all around the world to spread His word, to bring forth. I mean, you look at the amount of missionaries that went out of the United States after the war. God used America in a great way. Jeremiah chapter 10, let's read verses 1 through 2. It says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord speaketh unto you, which the Lord speaketh unto you." Here we find God wants us to know knowledge. God wants us to know the knowledge that He speaks. It says, "O house of Israel," number 2, "thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." That's where I believe we fell as a nation. We begin to learn the way of the heathen. America has learned the way of the heathen. Children in America are expected to go to universities to learn all the knowledge. I believe it's because, well, they know they can control the nation if they can control what the children learn. And that's the problem with universities today. They know they can control the nation, and it's working. My brother Jonathan, he was trying to get into Canada as a missionary, and one of the ways is, if you have experience in computer science, it really opens the door. So he thought about that, so he started the course. All he wanted to do was learn computer science. And they had him going through stuff that I can't talk about. He lasted about a week and he quit because it wasn't worth it. They try to insert that knowledge in there. And that's the problem with America now. America has learned the way of the heathen. They've embraced the way of sodomy. Idolatry is rampant. And even if it's not like the idolatry in the old days, people worship their possessions. There's a major push, especially in archaeology today, to learn the way of the heathen. To dig up old cultures that should be left buried. God doesn't want us to learn that stuff. There's a knowledge of good and evil. I believe we have a responsibility to learn the good, but leave the evil buried. I mean, you look at what they did with Pompeii. I just looked up Wikipedia, word Pompeii, and it says, "Largely preserved under the ash, the excavated city offers a unique snapshot into the Roman life." Well, God buried that for a reason. And instead of looking at that as a warning like we should have, we looked at that as an opportunity to find out how bad they were and how much in heathendom they had gone. God can't bless that. And that's why I believe God's lifting His hand off of the United States in a great way. He can no longer use the nation as a whole like He used to, but He can still use groups. He can still use individuals. But He can't use the nation anymore like He used to. God says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." But we have a responsibility to learn the way of God. In Matthew chapter 11, let's look, start in verse 25. Matthew chapter 11. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." Here we find, if we take His yoke upon us and learn of Him, that's where we'll find rest. That's where we'll find peace in Christ. We find Paul's desire for the people of Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, his desire was for them to learn in the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 1, if we turn there, we'll be turning a little bit in the introduction and try to settle down once we get to 1 John. Ephesians 1:15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We find this same theme throughout Ephesians and throughout all the throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 3:19, I'll just read it. It says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." So here we find the love of Christ, and when we know that, that's more important than all other knowledge. "It passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." We can't be who God wants us to be until we know Him. That's the first knowledge we should seek. We should seek to know God. And when we know God, He can begin to show us things that He wants us to learn. Ephesians 6, verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" We find here, knowing this, we can begin to learn about putting off the old man and putting on the new, how we can live in our new nature. I'd call that important in our walk with Christ. But we're not going to be able to do this until we learn it. And this knowledge I'm talking about is not just knowing up here. When we learn it, we learn it in our hearts. There's a difference between knowing it and actually learning it and believing it. We could go through all day and look at these, but we'll just look at a few. Romans 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" If we learn the way of the heathen, we'll be servants to it. But if we learn the way of God, God says, "Learn of me." That's God's will for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We're supposed to know this, because once we know this, we have a responsibility to live pure as His temple. God lives inside of us. We are His temple. And this gives us the responsibility to live as such. When they were building the tabernacle, I was reading in the Old Testament, and when they were building the tabernacle, it always talks about how they were to use pure things. The gold was to be pure. The incense that they were to burn was to be pure. The sacrifice that they were to bring, it was to be pure. That's God's requirement. As God's temple, we are to live pure. We are to live as He would have us to live. Romans 12:1 calls us a living sacrifice. And we are to be pure. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Here we find when we have this knowledge, we have a warning of being separated from the things of the world. This is separating that good knowledge from evil knowledge. We have that responsibility to learn that which was good, but when we let something in that shouldn't be into our heart, it'll ruin our whole life, potentially. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" If we stop there, we can assume that God can't save these people that it lists. Fornicators, adulterers, effeminate. The list goes on. But we need to know the rest. What I'm trying to point out is, without this knowledge, we can't live the way God wants us to live. Knowledge is so important in our Christian life. It goes on in verse 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." What this does is it causes us to not forget that we were once in a state where some of us may have been in a state where people thought it was useless to try to reach us. But if we keep this in mind and we remember this and have this knowledge, we'll remember that God wants us, God has a heart for everyone to be saved. Knowledge is so important. There's a story I heard of this was back when during the slave trade. And they were selling this man that his master was very abusive and treated him very badly. He was standing there being sold. Just an evil practice, a shame for the United States, what we used to do. But as he stood there was a man in the crowd, and he came up and he purchased him. And he walked up and he handed him his freedom papers. And his intention was to hand him those papers and walk away, and that man would be free. Well, that's what Christ did for us. He bought our freedom. But it said that when the man started walking away, that slave, he ran after him and he started crying, said, "I'll serve you forever." He wasn't serving because he had to. He was serving because out of a grateful heart. We could go on and on of things that we have a responsibility to know. But we do have that responsibility. And I know in this church you hear the truth and you hear these things that God wants us to know. But what I'm going to get to later is that once we know these things, we have a responsibility because we know them. So we have a responsibility to learn these things, but after we learn them, that gives us a responsibility to obey them. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When we know this, it doesn't matter the results we get when we go out and try to tell people about Christ. When we know this, all that matters is that we're faithful to what God has us to do. It doesn't matter if, like, when people get saved, we rejoice. When people come to church, we rejoice. But that's not why we should be going out. We should be going out because we're obeying what God said to do. We should go out because we love God and want to serve Him and please Him. But if we don't know this, we'll get discouraged. We'll want to quit because it's not worth it, because there's no effect. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is that we please God. We have a responsibility to study these things. We find, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Knowledge brings victory. We find in 2 Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed." If we study and we learn these things as God wants us to learn them, it'll bring us victory. But it'll bring us fellowship with Him. And if you turn now to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll kind of stick in this passage, Lord willing. 1 John is a great passage for new Christians because it lays a foundation for what we should know as Christians. And over in this passage, we find where he uses that word, to know, or ye know, or he wanted to put them in remembrance so they knew this. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." And then verse 3, this is what I want to look at. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John lived his life for 3 years alongside Christ. He and the other disciples had been with Him from the beginning. They had seen, they had heard all His teachings. They had seen His miracles. They saw Him as He made the water into wine, healed the dead. They saw it all. But here we find where John put it into writing because he knew it would be beneficial to other Christians. And he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship." When we know these things, we can be closer to God. We can be closer to our designed purpose. Wednesday we talked about why God created man, and that was to have a fellowship and a relationship with God. But when we know these things, we can become closer to God. In verse 4, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." We find when we know these things, I mean, they're written down. They're there for us to learn. But when we learn them, we can have joy that we didn't think we could experience. Our joy may be full. In verse 5, it says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." When we know these things, it brings light into our life. It brings enlightenment and understanding. It goes on to talk about that in that passage. God is light. And when he's in us, we could be that light. And we could, that's a whole other message about how we should shine his light into the world. But when we know this, we can be that testimony that he wants us to be. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." We find this knowledge brings victory. A Christian that doesn't ever learn these things is a Christian that has no victory in his life. Just lives his life. It's a sad life, really, to not find the purpose and the fulfillment and the victory God intends for every Christian to find. So let's turn to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Here's something that John, he really wanted these people to know, and that includes us. 1 John 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Here we find John talking about eternal security. Everyone that is saved will go to heaven. We have that eternal security. We will be changed into the image of his son. In John chapter 1 John 3, 5 and 6, it says, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Here we find a truth that John wanted to get across, and that was that our sins are forgiven once we're saved. And if we don't know this, we're going to live our life in bondage. Not knowing that our sins were forgiven, we're going to live our life in fear. But when we're saved, God takes away our sin and gives us freedom from that. He breaks the chains that Satan had on us. But if a Christian doesn't learn this and doesn't get this in his heart, he's going to live as if he was chained up. When we're saved, God gives us freedom from everything that happened before we were saved. This gives us freedom. Freedom to live as God wants us to live. Freedom to experience the fulfillment he wants us to experience. Go down to verse 14. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." We're no longer a servant to Satan. He's the king of darkness. But we have passed from death to life. We have hope now. This knowledge will bring encouragement if we let it, if we learn it, and if we believe it. In verse 19 of chapter 3, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth." When we get saved, God's witness, it says, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. When we're saved and we read this and we learn about what the Christian life means, we know we're of truth. When I'm out witnessing sometimes, I'll hear people ask, "How do you know what you believe is the truth?" Because I've experienced it. God changed my life. His Spirit bears witness with mine. And no one can experience that until they're saved. We are of the truth, and we know that for certain. And it's sad when I hear people say they hope they're going to heaven. God never intended for that for us. We're supposed to know that. We are of the truth. In chapter 4, in verse 13, we find another time he says, "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." This is a life-changing concept. We are his temple. He lives in us. When Jesus went back to heaven and left the disciples, he promised that he would go with us. He promised that the Holy Spirit would be our comforter. This is something we need to know. Chapter 5, verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." We spoke on that. Gives us freedom from fear. I know people who believe they can lose their salvation, and the reason they told me that they have to continually do good things in order not to lose their salvation. But when we know this, it changes our motives for how we serve God. We're no longer serving because we're afraid of going to hell. We're serving because we love God and we want to honor him and we want to please him. It completely changes why we serve God. In verse 15 of chapter 5. "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Here John's trying to tell us that God answers prayer. This should give us confidence in prayer. This should give us confidence to do what he wants us to do. We know God hears our prayers. This is an all-powerful God who created heaven and earth. He cares enough about us to listen to each prayer. And I can't understand that. No one can understand that. But it's an amazing truth. And it's an encouragement. It should be an encouragement in our life. God hears our prayers. In verse 18 and 19. Says, "We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not." We have a new nature. Now this isn't saying once we're saved we never sin. This is saying our new nature, our new person in Christ, God views us as sinless. And that's a miracle. When God applies his blood to our life, it covers all our sin. God doesn't see us that way anymore. He sees us as clean and he gives us his righteousness. Verse 20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true." We can know God. There's a lot of people, they don't know these things. And these things are basic, I know that. These things are the building blocks in a Christian's life. But knowing it isn't just learning it and forgetting about it. These are things we should rejoice in. These are things that will change our life when we apply them. These are things that God wants us to... We find several times where Paul or John or Peter is talking and he says, "These things I write unto you that ye may remember," or "to put you in remembrance," or "that ye may know." It's important that we remember these things. So, what I want to get across today is that we have a responsibility to learn these things. But knowing them brings responsibility. In Luke 12, we find it says, "But he," in verse 48, "but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomever much is given, much shall be required." Knowing these things When we're saved, we have a responsibility. John was reminding us that we know these things. Now, these things are uplifting and encouraging and give us strength. But if we know these things, it is required of us that we use these things. We are stewards of God's word. And when we know that, we have a responsibility to faithfully steward God's word, to give God's word out. And there was a small town. I wish I could remember the name. I read this story years ago. And it was along a rocky coastline, and this was when they had lighthouses. But this was a spot where a lot of ships hit rocks. It was just a very dangerous spot. So the town decided, we're going to have this group of men. They're going to be always ready. They're kind of like lifeguards. They're going to be always ready to just go and rescue people. And it started out, every time an alarm sounded, they were out the door, they were ready. But then the town was like, well, we're thankful for what these guys are doing. Let's kind of make a spot for them. And they started putting things in there and, you know, a nice sofas. And they started getting comfortable. And soon enough, a ship had struck a rock, the alarm sounded, and they still went, but they just kind of took their time. They had a responsibility to go out and save those people. But the ship went down and the whole crew died. I can't remember what happened to those men, but I know they were punished. They were held accountable. Unto whom much is given, much is required. They had a responsibility. They were expected to fulfill that. So these things, they're basic and they're encouraging when we know them and all that, but we should kind of have a fear, not a fear in the way of fearing our salvation or anything like that. I'm talking about a fear of our responsibility before God. We should have a fear in our heart that, I guess fear would be the wrong word, but a motivation in our heart to fulfill what God wants us to do. We should have a motivation in our heart to learn these things, to learn what God wants us to do. Knowing it brings fellowship, knowing brings joy, brings light, it brings victory, but it brings responsibility. I want to encourage us today to keep these things in remembrance. And to fulfill our duty to learn these things. When we know these things, we have that responsibility. We can't forget that. But if we forget these things, we can't fulfill our responsibility. That's why it's our responsibility to spend time with God, to spend time in His Word. It's our responsibility to study His Word. It's our responsibility to know these things. And it's very simple. It's basic. But it's hard to do. It's hard to keep up with sometimes. Sometimes it's easy to forget. Kind of lax off. I just want to encourage us to continue learning. To keep these things in remembrance. And if we do these things, it'll change our life. As God wants it to.